Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with another episode of the We Talk Sports podcast, featuring myself and Joseph. Today, we have MLB news, NBA news, NFL roster cuts, Serena Williams commenting on Colin Kaepernick's anthem protests, and the trade that took over the internet, Chicago Bears trade for Khalil Mack. Let's get started with MLB news. So the Red Sox are currently leading the AL East with the best record in the MLB. They swept the Yankees, which for one of the games in Fenway, I was there, and it was a crazy fourth inning, and someone had like four different home runs. And so that rivalry, it's a classic rivalry, but this year the Red Sox absolutely dominated it. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, because they already clinched their East Division because the Yankees are second, and
the Yankees also lost the game to the friggin' the Red Sox lost the game to the Blue Jays, which I found very surprising.
Yeah, but it's funny because the Blue Jays went major trades and then they beat the best team in the league.
Oh yeah, the Blue Jays are in total rebuilding mode. They traded fan favorite Josh Donaldson to the Cleveland Indians for a player that has not been disclosed because Donaldson's on waivers. And then they traded Curtis Granderson to the Milwaukee Brewers for some minor league outfielder.
And
to do you agree with these Blue Jays trades?
Man, the Blue Jays, ever since they lost Edwin Encarnacion, that team was gonna shit the bed. Because they had Troy Tulowitzki was an MVP caliber player, and he doesn't want to play.
So was Donaldson.
Donaldson is also so MVP was Donaldson. Caliber. Edwin Encarnacion is still. He's an MVP caliber player. So, Bautista was, but you know what I mean. They had so many good players. So I think this people say, oh, it's a stupid move because they're not getting anything worth back.
But well, they're in a real rebuilding phase, so like they're trading away all their old players.
Yeah, that's true. But they had to do what they're doing right now. Because they're playing garbage last year. And anyways, I wanted to talk to you that the Red Sox are up on the Yankees 8 games in their division. Which is likely they'll clinch unless Red Sox lose. But there's not even one month left until to the season. Not even.
Yeah, it's not long till playoffs start.
But the team that's really surprised me, I'll tell you in both leagues, but in the American League, the team that really surprised me would be the Boston Red Sox. And and the National League, well, we all know Cubs, they're good, but the Atlanta Braves, they're first in their division.
That's very surprising. I didn't think they were first.
Because that division is not that great.
No, it was not.
Because Braves only have, they have 60 losses and they're still the division leaders.
Put that into perspective. Wait, how many losses? 60 something?
Yeah, they have 76 wins, 60 losses.
And they're the division leader. It's one of those divisions where it's so bad it's competitive.
And the American League, the Rays have the same exact record, but they're third in the East Division.
Yeah. Well, that's just the difference in conferences and divisions. But at least Donaldson is reunited with Edwin Encarnacion in Cleveland.
That's
funny. Like, that's a little bit of compensation for the fan favorite. And in an interview, the Blue Jays GM said it was the best move for the team at the time because they're in this rebuilding phase.
But the thing is, Josh Donaldson, after he got traded, he said it's difficult to the extreme to leave. But Donaldson wanted to leave, so I don't understand.
Well, he's 32, late in his career, battling injuries. And I feel he wanted to go to a contender. Because that's the thing with teams in rebuilding phases. They'll trade their older, better players to contenders, especially in baseball. I just feel that the Jays could have gotten some better compensation for these trades. Like, maybe if they packaged them in a deal, they could have gotten much more.
But he was an MVP like 3 years ago.
Yeah, like a few seasons ago, he was an MVP. So it's like, but the thing is though, he's been battling injuries this year. Like, he has played so few games. And then you saw in the beginning, like even when he was playing, you saw the problems he had with his arm and just his overall throwing. So, I mean, that's probably why they didn't get much form, just because he's been battling injuries. Because injuries can tank what a team, what a player has on the market, and also what a prospect value, what draft value they have in the draft.
But who do you think is going to win the World Series this year?
I would think the Red Sox, because they've been such a dominant team at this point so far. And they swept the Yankees in their series.
But do you think...
Sorry, continue?
But that's what happened with Cleveland. And then they lost to Chicago.
Yeah, I know, but the Red Sox have been this dominant for so long in the series and in the season, where I don't see them choking in the playoffs.
Well, you never know, anything can change.
Well, yeah, 3-1 happened with the Cavaliers and Golden State, but like, and 20-3 happened in Super Bowl 51. So that's the great thing about sports. Nothing is guaranteed.
Yeah. But anything else you wanted to add before we move on?
The Jays GM also said, like, in not next year, but the year after, they're going to be a better team. And then maybe in three, four years, they'll be a World Series contender. Which, do you believe that is a possibility?
Yeah, because with Guerrero Jr.,
okay, and also just they've gone younger talent through these trades and unloading their star players, even though that has not pleased the fans at all.
Yeah, but
yeah,
we should wait and see.
Well, yeah, exactly, because they could screw up a draft, which, I mean. At 1 year, like, the Raiders have been known for terrible drafting. And 1 year, they took a friggin' kicker in the first round. I forget what year, but it was, like, fairly recent. And by fairly recent, I mean, like, within a couple decades. But it just created a huge uproar.
Yeah.
Moving on to NBA news. So, J.R. Smith screw up in the NBA Finals. That's who J.R. Smith is. He was also charged with a misdemeanor for when a fan was like, hey, I want to take a picture. He said no. And then when the fan took the picture anyway, he grabbed the fan's phone and threw it. And was later charged with a misdemeanor and is set to appear in court sometime in the coming months. So this is one of the ways the Cleveland Cavaliers are somewhat relevant still. But granted, this is one of the worst ways to be relevant, having a decent player on trial for a misdemeanor. What are your thoughts on this?
I find it funny because J.R. Smith was the Joker of the NBA Finals.
And typical J.R. This is such a J.R. thing to do.
But he hasn't had a good. He didn't have a good season, anyways.
No, he didn't. Well, that's. There are a lot of just garbage players in the NBA. There's one you wanted to talk about. So why don't you bring that up now?
Yeah, Luol Deng.
First off, has anyone heard of him? Because I'm curious. Has anyone ever heard of him? Because I had no idea who you were talking about before I actually looked into it. And it's very funny. So, like, he was on the Lakers, apparently. And, like, he would be in his locker room. Or in the locker room before games. And it's funny, but it's also kind of sad. In the sense where, like, his jersey was basically, like, never used. He, like, didn't play for the most part. He was just kind of on the team, didn't play at all. And so it's, like, after, like, warm-up and stuff happens and the team goes to courtside, he would go into, like, a training room, watch the game on TV, and then, like, run on a treadmill and, like, pretend and work out or something. Or just run on the treadmill to try and recreate the days where he played like 35 minutes a game. I found that very funny, but it's also very sad because he's 32, 33. Like, he's not in his prime, but he's not entire. Like, for his age, I don't think he's completely washed up. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Like, for the people who don't know who this guy is, Luol Deng used to be one of the top 5 players, like top 5 best defenders in the NBA. But that was 4 years ago. Like, he was a starting small forward for Chicago,
and then he just kind of just fell off a cliff.
Yeah, because he averaged 17 points, 6 rebounds with Chicago. But
and then we go straight to his pathetic situation with the Lakers. I laughed when I read that. I'm like, there's no way this actually happened. But yeah. Like, oh man, that's just funny.
But
it's funny more than anything. Like, you're on the roster, but you don't even dress before the game. You just go into, like, workout room, fitness center, whatever, put the game on TV, and just run on the treadmill for however long you imagine yourself playing in that game. Like, he stopped when the whistle blew and started again when the whistle blew again. That is funny, but also very sad to see a player of his caliber just absolutely drop.
Yeah, but Luol Deng, before he joined the Lakers, he was on the Miami Heat. And he was a small, like, he was, playing defense. And, like, he averaged 30 minutes. Or 35 with the Miami Heat, which was exactly
that's pretty good.
2 years ago.
Like, minutes isn't like the best stat, but you get a lot of minutes if you're like a decent enough player.
And 4 years ago, he was in the All-Star game. He was an All-Star starter.
Yeah. That's very unfortunate. that it's happened. But then again, it's just the thing. Like, it's like all sports. You have like 30 is like that mark where you just start to decline.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, you can't blame the coach for not putting him in, because when he signed that $72 million deal, he was, he was starting for the Lakers. And after the first week, he played so bad that he is, that the coach was like, I'm not playing this guy. Like,
so he got like basically $72 million just to run on a friggin' treadmill.
Yeah, because man, his field goal percentage was like 28%, and his threes was 13%.
See, basketball is one of those sports where like, what's a like decent field goal percentage in basketball? Because
47-48.
Okay, so like around, like, it's one of those things where it's like, if you make like 50% of your shots, you're a decent player, basically. But he was like making, so like, out of 10 shots, he'd make like 2 or 3, basically, which I find, no, that like, is just,
no,
that is not worth $72 million.
In his first week, in 5 games, he would miss like 12 shots minimum.
It's 12 minimum.
But he was like, it wasn't the people be like, oh, they never play. They played him the first week. He played 38 minutes on average.
But he was just playing terrible for those minutes. So with basketball, because I know with football, like your contract, like, there's so many little things where it's like at a certain point, like you can be cut and there's like no penalty. In basketball, like contracts are fully guaranteed. So are they able to like cut him or no?
They can put him on waivers and buy him out like they did.
Okay. But that's assuming a team.
But unless, because the waiver date, not waiver, because, when you put a guy on waiver and you want to buy him out during the off season and he still has 2 years or more, there's a deadline. September 1st is a deadline for if you got a player that you signed last year to an extension and he still has 2 years, you got to put him on waivers and then you got to wait 48 hours for him to clear the waivers, then you can buy him out, but it has to be before September 1st.
Jeez, so they're basically stuck with him because that's assuming someone wants to sign him off waivers.
And not even one team picked him up, so they're like, they bought.
So yeah, they're stuck with him now.
No, they bought him out. They gave him a $72 million paycheck.
Nice. $72 million to run on a treadmill.
And do nothing.
Oh, man.
But,
I could pick anyone out of, like, a group of people and be like, alright, you want $72 million? Just run on a treadmill. That's all you gotta do.
He just didn't want to people like the camera to be on him, so he decided not to.
Yeah, so he's like, I'm not gonna get played, so I'm just not even gonna go out.
But even if he didn't do that, he could easily be a leader, like not play at all but be a leader in practice.
Well yeah exactly, because that's the thing, you don't necessarily need to be like the best player on the team to be a leader per se.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's why I don't like players that are like that. Even though they don't play, they're not even gonna show up.
Yeah, they're like, I'm not. Well, it's one of the things with like the New York Giants. It's like they hit, like, even if it's preseason, the veterans aren't playing. They don't like it when the veterans don't put on their pads, because like it's lead by example, basically. Like, you don't need to be this outspoken leader. Just lead by example with the little things you do. And, like, that's what kind of pisses me off about certain people. Because there was one time where I was playing a football game and our quarterback was fucking pissed off at something. So, like, I think I heard this from someone, so I didn't see it. But I can kind of see him doing this. He just kind of just took off his shoulder pads and just separated himself from the team in the middle of the game. Granted, we were killing them. Like, we won, like, 57-7. But it's still one of those things just like, dude, you're the quarterback. Like, try and act like a leader, please.
Yeah. Because I used to play football myself. And there's a guy that...
What position?
Me? Quarterback. Yeah.
Okay.
And I would tell the coach, let the backup quarterback, let him, like, play, you know?
Like, we're absolutely killing some people, put him in.
No, because we're making the playoffs, and the last game of the season...
The last game didn't matter.
Yeah, so I was like, coach, just let...
Let him get the start. Like, let him play.
Yeah.
Did the coach put him in, or...?
The coach, like, on the, like, before the game, like, the media guys and the rest, they need the papers for the starting lineups.
Mm-hmm.
They call his name, but he didn't show up. Like, he was nowhere to be found.
So he just didn't show up to the game?
Yeah.
Jeez. Then... That is... Huh.
And in the first playoff game...
He showed up.
No, before the... Like, before the first playoff game, I was like, yo, you want to play the first playoff game, go ahead, but don't just not show up. And then the coach didn't, because we were on TV, national television,
mm-hmm.
and we don't get embarrassed first playoff game. Yeah. So, he didn't even show up to practice. So, and then...
Personally, I just hate people like that.
Like, you gotta...
Who are like, I'm not gonna play, so I'm just gonna screw the team over and not show up at all. Like, I don't like people like that. They just kind of piss me off. Because, like, this is gonna be a great... like, segue into our next topic, where, like, even if you don't get a lot of playing time, or even if you're just the backup, you can still get your chance, like, RG3. The Ravens, like, they kept three quarterbacks, Joe Flacco, Lamar Jackson, and RG3, which is the first time they're doing it since, like, 2009, I believe. And RG3 is listed as the second-string quarterback. So... could this be a career revival for RG3? Or, like, do you think RG3 is a good fit as a second stringer for the Ravens?
I think it's a new... it'll be a big chance for RG3 to revive his career. Don't you think?
Especially, like, being listed as second string, and, like, he can also kind of act as a mentor to Lamar Jackson. By the way, I feel like the Ravens reached trading up to pick him. But that's just me.
But like, do you think RG3 is like, you think RG3 can... what if Joe Flacco gets injured?
I feel RG3 is a better backup than Lamar Jackson at the moment. Like, just because RG3 has that veteran presence. Like, he's been in the league for multiple years. And, like, he's used to coverages. And he was also brought in sooner than Lamar Jackson. So he knows the offense a little bit better. And so I just feel it's a lot better to have RG3 as the second string than Lamar Jackson.
And, since we're talking NFL, why do you think the Broncos cut Lynch?
Because he's a bust.
But he's still...
He's a bust. He's a bust.
Why?
Like, he's a bust. Like, he lost the backup QB battle to Chad Kelly. And he is a former first-round pick. He is a bust. He is a run-first quarterback, and he's a bust. I would not be surprised if he spends the entire season unsigned.
Yeah, but he didn't have a chance to show himself.
He had a chance in preseason against, like, second, third, fourth stringers, and he lost the backup QB battle. Like, as a first-round pick, I feel that makes you a bust. Do you not agree?
Depends, like, maybe the offensive line, they were... Like, it wasn't...
Well, they have a decent offensive line. It's not great, but it's not it's not bad. And they have like, pretty good receiving talent. Like, Tebow made it work. Granted, I feel Tim Tebow is a better quarterback than the Paxton Lynch. But the point is still there. He's had decent talent around him. He's just not a good quarterback. Just what it is.
Do you think Marshawn Lynch has a chance to sign with another team?
Marshawn? No, I'm talking Paxton Lynch.
No, I mean, yeah, Paxton Lynch. My bad.
Okay. I feel if a team is desperate for a quarterback... But quite frankly, I would not be surprised if he spends the season as an unsigned free agent.
So he's not a starter?
No, he's not a starter in this league. If the Denver Broncos signed Tim Tebow right now, he would be a better quarterback than Paxton Lynch.
Tim Tebow hasn't played football in a
while. I don't care. If they sign him right now, he would be a better quarterback than Paxton Lynch. Like, that's just how much of a bust Paxton Lynch is.
Wow.
Granted, John Elway cannot draft quarterbacks at all.
I'm saying he's that bad that Tim Tebow hasn't played football in years, and he would still be better.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Wow. So why did they draft him, though?
Because John Elway is terrible at drafting quarterbacks. Granted, he looked good in college. Like, Jerry Jones wanted to trade up in the draft to get him. Like, that's the thing. Like, he was good in college, but that's it. Because college is much more like a spread option offense. Where someone's either schemed open, or you can just run for the first down if you're a mobile quarterback. I mean, that's one of the reasons why Tim Tebow was so successful in college and in the NFL, because Broncos transitioned basically to a spread option offense, which I've never seen since then or before then in the NFL.
So the Denver Broncos, who's their backup? Who's their, like, what is
starter?
Yeah.
Case Keenum. Signed him in free agency.
So he's the deemed starter for week one?
Yep. Speaking of week one starters, I feel that the Jets made an absolute mistake with Sam Darnold being the starter just because he's a rookie. But
yeah, but when
to be fair, there are a lot of questionable changes in the NFL.
When did they sign Case Keenum?
This offseason in free agency.
Like after draft?
Before draft.
Oh. So Case Keenum was a starter regardless.
Yeah.
Then why did they draft a quarterback for him?
Paxton Lynch was drafted a couple years ago.
Yeah, but they still had... He was underrated.
But not that underrated. Like, Tim Tebow would still be better than him. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's how... bad Paxton Lynch is. Like, it's shocking.
But for you, he's not an NFL starter.
Paxton Lynch, no.
Is he like a third string quarterback?
I'd give him backup at best.
So the only way to revive his career now is...
He has to pull in Nick Foles.
Like, play on a team and not play at all. And then his elite quarterback...
Look, I'm sure if he, like, gets in the right system and with the right coaches, he can definitely develop into a possible starter. But at the moment, he is not a starter. By any means.
But we can talk about other cuts. What about
the Bills? So the Bills released Corey Coleman, and the Raiders cut Martavis Bryant. So the Bills gave the Browns a free 7th-round pick, basically, and the Raiders gave the Steelers a free 3rd-round pick, which they turned into Mason Rudolph. Yeah, I feel. Corey Coleman and Martavis Bryant are both very good receivers. Or, not very good, but they are definitely starting caliber receivers. The thing is, though, Corey Coleman, I feel, got released because of his work ethic. Because that's what got him traded from Cleveland, because he was just not giving a shit.
So you're basically saying that the Bills... I mean, the Bills gave Browns a seventh round.
Yeah, a 7th round in, like, 1 point.
So they basically traded for Corey Coleman, and they gave up like a 15-year-old future NFL player.
Yeah, they gave up like some teenager, basically.
And then
the Raiders. And then here's the thing, though: the Martavis Bryant cut makes more sense because he was. He's in the process of appealing a suspension from the NFL for their substance abuse policy. Which basically means he's been smoking some weed.
But, like, 80% of the NFL players, they all have...
That's the thing, because weed is becoming legal now, so I don't get why there's such a suspension on it. I also don't get why... You get, like, a season suspension for marijuana. But then, like, people who, like, I don't want to say this too lightheartedly, but basically people who have abused their partners get, like, only a couple games. Like, that makes no sense to me.
The reason why they, even though it's legal now, it's not, like, businessly, like, in business... Wise, it's not smart to like give the guy like one game or two for a week. Because you think the commissioner of the NFL, you think he won't be embarrassed, be like, I don't want to watch this league, it's full of gangs and drug dealers.
Well, here's the thing, Goodell needs to get his priorities straight. Because he tried to, like, just absolutely ruin Tom Brady's career with the stupid freaking Deflategate thing. Like, you want a scientist to wave around footballs and explain why you lost by 50 points. More power to you. But, like, what's that going to do? Also, I do not like the Patriots, but Super Bowl 51, I loved it because anyone who was left in that stadium booed Roger Goodell so hard. Like, it was like the end of a friggin' Die Hard movie. Just like the police commissioner who didn't believe in the rogue cop just gets absolutely shit on by the crowd, which I found very funny.
Oh, it's funny. I don't like the commissioner of every league.
Oh, all commissioners are hated.
But Roger Goodell is so bad.
Well, he just has to get his priorities straight. Like, first off, Brady played like shit with the deflated footballs and played better with the regular ones. Like, Goodell just has to get his priorities straight. Like,
and I know that we're gonna talk about the anthems regarding Colin Kaepernick.
But by the way, his case, like, that's basically like conspiracy, that basically says like the owners like are conspiracizing to keep him out of the league. Like, what I'm.
But Roger Goodell, like, is the worst of the worst.
Oh yeah, like absolutely. Like, he's had, like, first off, they made this whole anthem policy because they're like, the people are disrespecting the flag. They're not disrespecting the flag. Like, you don't understand what they're protesting. They're protesting police brutality. Which, like, I feel was definitely a good thing. Because it's a problem that happens everywhere, especially in America. And then, so, because of this, Colin Kaepernick, who, he's a better quarterback than Paxton Lynch. Like, Colin Kaepernick can definitely be a backup, if not a starter, in the NFL right now.
No.
Along with his friend Ed Reed, who, 26, young, good strong safety, or good safety in general, they can both be in the league. So I don't get why they're unsigned. I don't get why they're unsigned if there was not, in fact, this whole thing with, like, the owners conspiracizing to keep them out of the league.
It's because Donald Trump.
Oh, it's because Donald Trump just trashes the NFL on Twitter, which I find is hilarious that the President of the United States has nothing better to do than just thrash the NFL on Twitter.
But
speaking... Okay, sorry.
Sorry, but I just found out that Colin Kaepernick's case against NFL will go to trial.
Which, I mean, more power to you, Colin. Because, like, what I feel what he was doing was the right thing. Because he was not disrespecting the flag. He was protesting against police brutality, which is a very serious problem.
Yeah, but it's not like Kaepernick was an average quarterback.
He brought the 49ers to a Super Bowl. Which then lost to the Ray Lewis Ravens. But still.
So, Kaepernick was a decent quarterback.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Like, and okay.
I was a fan of Colin. Like,
mm-hmm.
When he kneeled, first
time, you understood why.
Yeah, but when the first time he did it, I was like, I don't know if it's right, but after, like, it's the only way he can show
It's the only way he was able to do anything, really.
And he said he'd rather not play in the NFL, but to show that something needs to be done about police brutality.
Mm-hmm. And so he, Eric Reed. Sorry if I was saying Ed Reed.
Plays for the Ravens.
Yeah, Ed Reed was a killer safety. But they went to the U.S. Open and watched Serena play against her sister Venus Williams, who smoked her sister. Like, for those of you who don't know tennis, 6-1 and 6-2 straight sets win. Basically means that Venus won 3 games while Serena won 12. And so what Serena had to say regarding Collins' protests was, quote, "I think every athlete, every human, and definitely every African American should be completely grateful and honored how Colin and Eric are doing so much more for the greater good, so to say. They really use their platform in ways that is really unfathomable. I feel like they obviously have great respect from a lot of their peers, especially other athletes, people that are really looking for social change." What are your thoughts on this?
So the season starts on Thursday, or?
Yeah, this Thursday.
What is the first game?
Falcons Eagles.
And you said what, Monday?
Thursday.
Okay. So it's like the game of the night.
Season opener.
How many games are on Thursday? One?
One, yeah.
Oh, it's Falcons and Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So they said the Foles the starter. Do you wanna, let's, who do you think's gonna win? Falcons or Eagles?
Falcons, because the Eagles have not been good in the preseason. Foles is not the Super Bowl MVP right now.
Like, I think the Falcons gonna win, obviously, but
I feel it'll be respectable.
It's not gonna be like a.
It's gonna be respectable.
It'll be close.
Yeah.
Because the Falcons, they're overrated all the time.
Well, they're not that overrated.
Yeah. Because they signed Ryan to a big contract.
Mm-hmm.
They still got big names on the wide receiver.
You still got Julio. You still got the Freeman. They've got a really good team.
Yeah, but they just...
But you want to know what team got significantly worse? The Oakland Raiders! So, this morning, I woke... My brother just got Instagram recently. I've sent him some NFL stuff. And, like, he, like, does not use Instagram at all. So I wake up this morning to him sending me, just, like, the Bears traded for Cleo Mack. And I'm like, no way. So I check... And John Gruden found a way to piss off the fan base again. So the trade included, so the Bears sent to the Raiders 2019 first round, 2019 sixth round, 2020 first, and 2020 third. And then they got Khalil Mack, 2022nd, and 2025th. Bears obviously won this trade. And then they proceeded to sign Mack to a 6-year, $141 million contract. $60 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Bears won this deal, obviously. What are your thoughts?
Do you think Khalil Mack is being overrated?
No. He's all-pro at two positions. End and linebacker.
Yeah, but the reason the Oakland Raiders traded Khalil Mack was because Khalil Mack wanted a max deal.
Well, he wanted his money. He's getting like close to $24 million a year, I think. Which Aaron Donald's reign as the highest paid defensive player lasted one day.
Yeah, but that's the reason they let him go, because I'd rather get anything. I don't care if it's a bag of chips or some minor leaguer, but like if I have one of the best defenders in the league, a former defensive player of the year,
you pay him.
Or
you pay him.
Yeah, but it's out of the team's best interest to trade him.
No, it was in their best interest to pay the man.
But Oakland Raiders, like, he deserves a max contract, but...
And the Raiders could have given it to him.
But I think the
pay GM, the man.
The GM wanted to give, but John Gruden...
John Gruden, he is not going to be there for the 10 seasons his contract says. He's going to be out in 3 or 4.
Like, he said, I wouldn't even sign him. His contract demands are too high.
Yeah, he said in an interview that we offered him a deal, but it was nowhere near what the Bears gave him. Like, when you have a guy... First off, quarterbacks make or break the game. When you have someone who can just get to the quarterback or the ball carrier and just disrupt any play, you pay him. Like, the Raiders' defense were terrible with Khalil Mack, so they're going to be even worse now. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders come last in their division.
But I think, for me, this is like deciding that your 2009 Honda Accord just isn't cutting anymore, and then maybe taking a beeline for the Bugatti dealership. Because Mack was the NFL Defensive Player of the Year 2 years ago, not long ago. And in his last 3 seasons, he had 10 sacks in each.
But that's because he's getting like double, triple team, because there's no other threat on the defense. And he's all pro at end and linebacker. And, two positions.
And
defensive end.
And he's only 27 years old.
So you pay the man. Which the Bears did, which I feel the Bears can make a case for second in the NFC North.
But a lot
behind the Packers.
But man, I've talked to a lot of people before it happened, and people like, oh, I don't think the Raiders are gonna let him go or let him walk free, or they're gonna sign him. And then they
signed him. They traded him to the Bears, and the Bears signed him. So, Bears won that trade, regardless. Because John Gruden cannot draft. In the first round, he reached for a project, not prospect, at defensive tackle.
But all of those draft picks...
Well, the Bears got some picks, too. They got a second and a fifth for 2020.
Yeah, but Khalil Mack is... He can... Like, he's amazing.
He will disturb all of your plans. He will just fuck all your stuff up. Like, you put him there, like, you just get him in the defense, and he will just screw up all of your plans.
But
like,
you know why Chicago is gonna be the number one defensive team? You know why? Because
They have a very underrated secondary. They have great linebacking core, especially with Roquan Smith now. And now they have a pass rush.
Yes, but
what?
Like, Oakland Raiders were ranked 23rd in the league against the pass in 2000s, like last season.
Mhm.
And 60% of the Oakland Raiders sacks came from
Mack. Khalil Mack.
And now...
Like, you don't have him. Like, I'm sorry. Like, the Raiders,
They are a bottom feeder in the AFC now.
Yeah, because Oakland Raiders, 70% of the name Oakland is owned is Mack. By
Khalil Mack.
He is the team.
Because, man, the scouting report before the game on
NFL Network. Well, yeah, because, like, you have to just adjust your entire plan around him. Because he will just screw up everything if you don't account for him. Like, but sorry, man, that's just what it is.
It's not like he's joining a team that's garbage. Before Khalil Mack, the Bears are top 10 in defense, points, and yards allowed.
Yeah, they're already a great defense. Now they're even better. I can see them being a top 3 defense at the very least.
But they never had a elite rush, like pass rush.
Mm-hmm. No, they've had elite linebackers like Urlacher, Buckus, Singletary. Like, they're known for their linebackers.
But, so,
honestly, that broke. That took over the internet and SportsCenter.
So, are you surprised the Giants released Davis Webb?
I am, because they invested a 3rd-round pick into him, which is a fairly high pick. So,
But I don't understand.
He wasn't a very good quarterback.
But why would they waive him if they decided?
I don't know. Like, you could have put him on the trade block or something.
But he made the cut for the 53-man.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just because he was underperforming, really. That's why. He just wasn't the best quarterback. He wasn't a good quarterback, really. And now they drafted Kyle Aletta, who is the backup, I'm pretty sure. So, there's a good amount of decent quarterbacks on the market. Like, decent third stringers, or... If you really need them, you can just bring them in, and they can do okay. But, that's about all I can say.
Webb is a starter.
What?
He's an average.
Yeah, he's an average quarterback. But he's just. Worse. He's just below average. Again, Tim Tebow at this current moment in time is a better quarterback. That's just all I'm gonna say.
You think Tony Romo could be a coach?
He's a very smart football player. I definitely think he could be. Solely because of just his knowledge from playing the game. And his work ethic, going from undrafted to the starter of the Dallas Cowboys. That in itself is amazing. So, yeah. Any final thoughts?
No, that's all of it.
Alright, so thank you everyone for tuning in for another episode of the We Talk Sports Podcast. Signing off, your host Scotty.
And Joseph.
See you next time.